Welcome to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. I started this show to talk about all of the interesting, complex, paradoxical, and sometimes uncomfortable aspects of the human experience. If you get anything from this show, the greatest compliment you could give me is to share this show with somebody that you think the message may resonate with, or to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Additionally, if you want to interact with me, you can follow me at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram. Without further ado, on to the show. Called A Reclamation of Depth, and I thought it would go well with yesterday's episode where I talked about this idea that, you know, we kind of feel lost, and oftentimes what's happening is we're just actually waking up to who we really are and what we really want, and before we know what those things are, it just feels a lot like we're lost. And so this piece, though I would say maybe you agree with some of it, all of it, it's really about my own journey and trying to pull myself apart from cultural roots and try to figure out who I am. You know, in Buddhism, they have the idea, they use the lotus flower often as a symbol of awakening. And I think that's interesting because the lotus flower comes from mud. And so it has to work its way up through the muck at the bottom of a pond, through the dark water, get to the surface where then it can flower and then sort of receive the light that will sustain its life. And I think that's a really good, as you listen to this, you might think about the human experience of us pulling ourselves out of the animal kingdom, out of our culture, as trying to flourish toward that light. That was at least what I found in my own journey trying to do this. And as you listen to this, you know, it might just be helpful for you to try to see where you are in all of this. Like, where do you see yourself in this tale of coming to consciousness and learning to reclaim the depth that was always yours? Human understanding about any given concept is always in flux, in large part due to the fact that understanding ourselves is so contingent on cultural paradigms. As time marches on, we label eras so that we can characterize and describe entire swaths of people based on the thinking that was the most prevalent in the minds of those people at that time. It is almost impossible to know when a thought is a product of an individual's mind or when it is the product of the cultural milieu which animates almost the entirety of one's thought process. As cultures change and evolve, they do so because the philosophies which underpin those cultures have changed. And so the first thing to recognize here is that a lot of our thoughts aren't our thoughts, right? They're thoughts from the collective. Like, we all share quite a few thoughts based on the era that we're living in. And so the modern person finds themselves in a post-enlightened culture, which has, for better or worse, stripped itself of much of its mythological roots. Thus, our emphasis is on the materiality of the world, which leaves little room for the existence or recognition of the human soul, let alone spirit. Much of the pathologies or neuroses that the modern person suffers from stem from an inability to contend with their own depth. It's like this soul is making demands of us, but because we don't recognize it's there, we don't know what the hell is going on. And this recognition is the ground that the remainder of this work will be set on top of. As we look to navigate a strictly material world, we inadvertently grow more self-serving. When we make decisions about what we should do or how we should spend our time, our choices are naturally made so that they maximize what we can get out of the interaction. The financial world speaks of this as an ROI, like a return on investment. It should be stated, however, that an ROI is a calculation that takes into account only the known world and its variables, which is, of course, precisely why a material-driven world clings to such metrics in the first place, right? And so we try to do these ROI calculations in our lives without realizing how much we actually just do not know at all. It is, however, not at all provable that such metrics maximize value in any ultimate sense. Measuring human flourishing is certainly not objectively quantifiable. Rising suicide rates among wealthy nations proves as much. And though there are more factors involved than what's mentioned, these complexities only serve to highlight our own complexity, which is to say, the average human has a host of problems going on below the hood, which the material world is unsatisfactory at solving. For all of these reasons, it is not at all obvious that when one makes a decision based on maximizing what they can get, that they are actually maximizing what they can get. What I mean is that happiness studies, actually I kind of dedicated a whole chapter to this in Ambitious Heroes and Heartache, they tend to show that one's subjective sense of happiness is increased more from giving than from getting. The materialist is short on explanations as to why that is, except for a shrug and the recognition that to be human is not adequately understood in any straightforward manner. Evolutionary biology sufficiently explains some of these complexities, but even then, the explanations rely on trends and reflections on what's happened, but cannot speak to the impetus for the animal's original coming to consciousness. Some animals crawl around in darkness for the length of their existence, while some, us, develop the cognition that makes them capable of finding, following, and harnessing light. My argument is that whatever that internal drive is, which has thrust the human animal to the apex of the conscious world, must be a continued factor in our decision-making process. If not, we may find ourselves, as the 20th century has shown, lapsing back into darkness. And so the emerging theory that I'm positing here is that rather than make decisions which serve the self, perhaps continued human flourishing is contingent on being subservient to that light. See, cultures have historically understood this subservience as man's religious impulse, though changing cultures have very obviously shown that man has taken that impulse to its conclusion. What I mean there is we have all kinds of religious practices, but not all of them actually help you orient yourself toward the light and find that light. The hope that enlightenment, the age of enlightenment I'm talking about, would carry the torch of human welfare proved to be naive at best. An observation prophesied by Friedrich Nietzsche when he proclaimed the death of God, a prophecy which was carried out by Nazi Germany for all the world to see. You might understand this conundrum as man mistaking himself for that light, rather than viewing himself as the lucky recipient of that light. The former paints man as the object of worship, while the latter leaves man with no choice but to adopt a level of humility as he recognizes his position in the cosmos. Furthermore, if the former were true, like if we could treat ourselves as God at the top of our hierarchy, it's likely that our propensity to serve ourselves would not be creating such dissonance in the heart of man. When these happiness studies show that we're actually happier if we serve other people, we've got to stop and reflect on what that means, right? There's something about ourselves, like, it's one thing to give yourself what you need so that you can show up as the person that you're here to be, and it's quite another to serve yourself wholly and completely. And so here's where we see the intersection of the individual and their culture. One must look at the culture that shapes their thoughts with as much objectivity as they are capable of, and further make note of where that thinking is leading them back into the darkness that their ancestors worked so diligently to escape. Here, we see that the Age of Enlightenment is ironically named as we struggle into the darkness that characterizes a life without meaning. Right? This idea that there's no design here, it's pure darkness. It's so difficult to try to give yourself the design, give yourself the meaning, then serve yourself. What happens is you go from pleasure to pleasure and it doesn't feel at all like light, at least in my experience. The 21st century human has been left to their own devices and finding themselves poorly equipped for the task that their culture has shouldered them with. How is it that the finite creature could possibly understand how to give themselves infinite meaning? Instead, they're left to squeeze pleasure out of the trivial material in front of them, mere crumbs when understood in the context of the whole. When one serves themselves, they tragically reduce their entire existence to the space between their ears. They understand their purpose on earth in the context of their vocation, and so the archetype that tries to live through them is stifled and incomplete. They look at their title and paycheck with increasing apathy because what they want it to provide is the meaning that belongs to their destiny. And so this is what I noticed in my life. Everywhere I went, I was trying to squeeze more and more meaning out of the material-driven world. And all of these things that you think about that you want in the material-driven world, sex, money, power, all these things. What's interesting is when you can let go of that, that ego's desire to have those things and to serve the self, and you let go and you kind of try to serve something bigger than self, and you allow your own depth to come forward, what you find is that all of those things are actually increased as a byproduct. But those are mere crumbs when they become your whole purpose. Hopefully that gave you something to think about. Anyway, I love you guys. Have an amazing day. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee.